For our scripture reading this morning on Thanksgiving Day is Genesis 33. The book Genesis 33, and we read the first 15 verses, the verses 1 through 15 of Genesis 33. And there we read God's holy word. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them, and bowed himself to the ground 7 times, until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him, and embraced him, and fell on his neck, and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes, and saw the women and the children, and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children, which God hath graciously given thy servant." Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near, and bowed themselves, and after came Joseph near, and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, "What meanest thou by all this dwarf which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, "Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee." And he said unto him, "My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me, and if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. But my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that groweth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord and to see her." And Esau said, "Let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me," and he said, "What needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord." So far the reading of the Word of God. And the text of the sermon, congregation, is formed by the words uttered by Esau and Jacob in the verse 9 and 11. Only 3 words uttered by Esau and Jacob in verse 9 and 11, may we read the words, "I have enough." Beloved congregation, this morning we want to pay attention to 2 different persons. They are brothers. To all appearances, there are not many differences. They both have the same parents. Both are rich. They own many sheep and much cattle. But the way they speak about their possession differs. The word of our text clarifies this. Esau says, "I have enough. The finest of the earth is his. He belongs to the wealthy, the chiefs of his time, to the richest man of the world. And his brother Jacob was rich as well. And in our text we read that he says to his brother, I have enough. In our translation it is the same word Esau uttered. But in the Hebrew language we notice that Jacob uses another word than Esau. A word that you can translate to all or everything. He says, I have all, I have everything. Or he says actually, I have more than enough. Why? Because Jacob feared the Lord. Because the Lord was with him, with his grace. And this morning we want to listen to the story about the meeting of Jacob and Esau. And we want to pay attention, special attention to their different assessment or opinion of their possessions. And ask ourselves what true gratitude is. We write above the sermon, true gratitude. Because of the many blessings. And secondly, because of the greatest blessing. True gratitude. Because of the many blessings. Because of the greatest blessing. This morning we read the history of the meeting between Jacob and Esau. And children, maybe your parents can read this story from a children's Bible so that you can have a conversation about the sermon of this morning. The meeting between these brothers is very special. They have not met each other for over 20 years. Jacob has stayed all the time with Laban, his uncle. He has worked for him and has built up his own business. Why did he stay such a long time with his uncle without meeting his family? That has to do with a long, sad story. God had promised the birthright to Jacob. The Lord had promised the elder shall serve the younger. And Esau was the elder and Jacob the younger. So Esau would serve Jacob. The fulfillment of this promise had not happened yet, and Father Isaac was getting very old. He gave Esau instruction to prepare a meal so that he could eat and bless his oldest son with the prized blessing. Rebecca, the mother of Esau and Jacob, had heard this, and she and Jacob figured that the Lord could use a hand to fulfill his promise. They deviously misled Father Isaac so that Jacob would receive the main blessing. That was not good of Jacob. But Esau's response to this deceit was bad as well. Esau was furious when he discovered that Jacob had received the blessing of the birthright. And he decided that he would not rest till he had killed his brother Jacob. Because, according to Esau, he had stolen the coveted blessing. But that was not true. Jacob had not stolen the blessing, since Esau had promised to renounce the coveted blessing. He had done so on the day that he could not care less about the birthright. He preferred lentil soup over his birthright. But now that he had lost the first birthright, his heart was filled with hatred and thoughts of revenge. That is why Jacob had to flee to Haran, to his uncle Laban. He has served his uncle 20 years and earned his living. But during that time, Esau expanded his possessions as well. He has become a wealthy farmer. Esau did not receive the first blessing. But the second blessing made him prosperous as well. That is proven by his response to Jacob's offer. These gifts are not just a few nice presents. No, these are large gifts which you would not refuse unless you are rich. What would Esau receive from Jacob? A few hundred goats and sheep, 50 cows and bulls, 30 donkeys. But Esau does not need them. And that is his answer to Jacob when he sent a servant to offer these gifts. Esau is very rich. He does not need to receive a big present from Jacob. And maybe Esau is not angry anymore since he became wealthy. It could be. Much money and many possessions can soften the pain of sorrow and disappointments. Esau is not angry any longer. But what about Esau's heart? Has he been changed? You might think so if you read his reaction at the meeting with Jacob. When Jacob meets with Esau, they embrace and kiss each other, and they weep, and it seems that all is forgiven. But reality is different. No forgiveness is offered, since they do not speak about repentance, confession of guilt, and pardon. The way Esau treats his brother, Jacob is telling. Let us focus a bit more on the story. Jacob has moved from Haran, from Mesopotamia, a region far above Canaan, to the northwest. And Jacob arrives at the river Jabbok. He travels along locations he has been before at the time he fled for Esau. And Jacob senses the threat of Esau when he comes to Canaan. Would Esau still be angry? To find out, he sends messengers to Seir, also called Edom, the region where Esau lives. They have to be told that Jacob is on his way. But they don't do this randomly. No, they have to bring a message in which Jacob humbles himself before his brother. We read in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 32, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses, flocks and manservants, and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." And what stands out in these words? Well, first that Jacob calls his brother my lord. That's an expression of a servant who speaks to his lord. Jacob exposes his fear before Esau. He esteems himself the lesser. He's the younger brother. And this is emphasized in the way he speaks about his possessions. In the Hebrew language, we can also read an ox, an ass, cattle, a manservant, a maidservant. And Jacob downplays the extent of his possessions. And by doing this, he hopes to get into favor with his brother and tries to make up for what happened in the past. And what is Esau's response? He neglects the message. He does not respond with words. He forces the messengers to tell all they have seen. And what have they seen? That Esau is coming with 400 men. That means with 400 armed men. Jacob frightens up and is terribly afraid. It seems Esau is coming to take revenge. And Jacob sends messengers again to please Esau. And they bring a huge present. Jacob wants to offer a lot of livestock. Actually, Jacob is behaving the same way as in the past when he had exchanged lentil soup for Esau's birthright. And Jacob believes he still can change Esau's mind by offering many gifts. And out of precaution, Jacob divides his possessions by creating two camps. If Esau attacks Jacob's family, then Jacob still has the chance to flee with the second camp. And the second camp includes all he loved most, namely Leah and Rachel and their children. And in the first camp are the two maidservants, Bilhah and Zilpah, and their children. And Jacob remains afraid till the meeting with Esau. And according to the old ancient East tradition, Esau should accept Jacob's gift to confirm the forgiven transgression. But Esau is not offering forgiveness. No, Esau's behavior shows his impenitence. He wants to impress Jacob. He refuses all the offered gifts and makes Jacob anxious by approaching Jacob with 400 armed men. It is as if Esau wants to declare, "You may have the birthright, but I am not less than you. You have your birthright, but I have power." And Esau remains a most powerful man. He is the brave man who regards himself superior. Esau's behavior is not far from you and me. Do you recognize it, children? You have a toy no one has, and you are proud of it. Before you know, you treat other as lesser. "Look what I have. You don't have one, so I am better than you." That's how we are by nature. We may be proud of our money, our possessions, our good health, our smarts, and our success. And you tell others and show others. Why? Well, because you are proud. You have a proud heart. That's the style of Esau. A style that fits with our natural heart. And then you look like Esau, who says, "I have enough." The Hebrew word for enough means actually much or plenty. And what is your reaction if you have plenty? You don't need a gift from someone else. Jacob may have the birthright, but Esau makes clear that he is not less than Jacob, and that he has power over Jacob. Esau's heart is unchanged. He is still impenitent. For Esau, his possessions are most important. He has plenty. There's nothing he needs. He has all the desires of his heart. Jacob cannot make him richer. And it is true. Esau is very rich. Maybe he has a good health too. But does Esau really have all his heart's desire? Can he not become richer? To Esau, his possessions are enough. He is satisfied with his wealth. He is satisfied with everything he has. But Esau does not understand that he is missing the most important thing. He does not experience that he misses something. We read in Matthew 16, verse 26, the word of the Lord Jesus. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Though you might have all your heart's desire and you feel healthy, but if you don't know of God's love in your heart, you are most miserable. For what is a man profited by so many possessions? How do you esteem your blessings? You look like Esau if you are satisfied with the gifts without knowing the giver. Maybe you are a thankful man. You're thankful for all the food and drink, for the clothes and your good health. You are thankful for the wealth and all the blessings which are bestowed upon you. View them in the light of the poverty of many other people in this world. Of course, you are thankful. And you want to express your thankfulness on this Thanksgiving Day. You're greatly privileged compared to many others, and you are aware of this. Yeah, but Pastor, isn't it good to be thankful for all the blessings? Oh yes, for sure. But how do you value them? Are the blessings sufficient to you? Do you need no more? Are there more important things than prosperity and many possessions? No doubt you agree that a new heart is most important. Is it really the most important thing to possess? Be honest now. Did you esteem the spiritual blessings as the most important this year, this past year? You know. Judge your prayers. Judge your lifestyle. Is the service of the Lord most important to you? Do you pray for a daily blessing, but foremost for an eternal blessing? We know it so well. We know what we need first and foremost. Most of us have learned that from our youth. But do you experience what is first and foremost? If you do not truly need the Lord Jesus for your sin and guilt, if you do not sincerely seek peace with God, do you know who you look like? You look like Esau. Esau had received many blessings. He was a rich man. The mountains of Seir were all his. He brought a rich harvest year after year. And maybe his yield increased every year. But his heart was not preoccupied with the desire to find the God of his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. He did not expect or anticipate the fulfillment of God's promise. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Since he was satisfied with the blessings as such. And what about you? Are you satisfied with the blessings of the Lord? Or do you eagerly seek the greatest blessing? Namely, that your sins are forgiven. That you are reconciled to God. The Lord has promised in the covenant of grace to provide this great blessing. The Lord has signed and sealed this with the holy baptism. I will be your God. And if you do not seek after this, then you are miserable indeed. You do not know the only comfort in life and death. Though you experience that you have enough. God's word, however, shows you that you are missing the most important blessing. Don't continue this way. Be not satisfied with wealth and some luxury. Seek after the eternal blessing. Seek after the inheritance which is beyond all understanding. Seek after the life with God. Then your life will change completely. Esau observes the blessings of his prosperity. He is satisfied with his prosperity. Jacob, however, has learned to view the blessings in the light of God's grace. In the light of God's grace. Jacob knows, all I have is by grace alone, freely given to me. And we know this from two portions of Scripture. First of all, from the words of our text in verse 11, when Jacob insists that Esau accept his gifts, and then he testifies, take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. Here we have a clear statement of Jacob's estimation of his possession. He calls them blessings which God has graciously provided. He regards his possessions as given by God out of free grace. He received them from the Lord while he did not deserve anything. And that is what Jacob has learned by grace. He has also learned to testify of this. That Jacob regards the blessings as free grace, we notice secondly in the previous chapter where we find Jacob wrestling with God in prayer. Jacob pleads God's promise for help. Jacob prays in verse 10 of chapter 32, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. He confesses that he deserves nothing. I am nothing. I came here first as a poor man on my way to Laban. And now I come back with a tremendous amount of possessions. God has provided. He did it out of sheer faithfulness. And Jacob acknowledges, I deserve nothing. He knows his guilt before God. He had brought himself into misery by his own foolishness. He had obtained the blessing of the birthright by hook and by crook. But Jacob was not satisfied with the privileges of the birthright. His prosperity does not enable him to confront Esau. Prosperity will not make you worthy to come before God. And Jacob knows, if God is not at my side, if my sins are not forgiven, then I have nothing. All my blessings will be in vain. And in that night, before he was to meet Esau, he stayed on the bank of the Jabbok River. The angel of the Lord met him and wrestled with him. A struggle that took the whole night. And at the end of the night, when the day broke, Jacob pleaded, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. He wanted a blessing. But Jacob was already richly blessed. He had many possessions. Yes, but now he prayed for the blessing. That means that the Lord will be present, that the Lord will not be angry with him, but will graciously help and protect him. Jacob wants to be reconciled with God. He wants the Lord as his refuge. Only then he can meet with Esau. And Jacob says to Esau, I have enough. In the Hebrew language, another word is used. We can translate this word with everything or all, as I said in the introduction. Esau says, I have enough. I have plenty. Jacob, however, says, I have all. because the Lord is with me. The Lord had blessed him at Jabbok. And when the Lord fulfills his covenant blessing, then you have all. And here we find an important lesson. You are only richly blessed if you know by faith that the Lord is with you. If you know that your sins are forgiven. If you find peace with God. That is a blessing which the Lord pleases to impart to you. In the way of wrestling for it. In the way of imploring the Lord. That includes that you acknowledge and experience that you have forfeited all. You can only be saved by free grace. And all God's children know something of this. The one more than the other. They recognize themselves in Jacob, who wrestled with God's greatest blessing. And for that reason, the Lord sometimes takes away your possessions, or maybe your good health, so that you wake up from your spiritual slumber, so that you discover for the first time and by renewal your need to seek foremost God's grace as revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that your sins are forgiven and that the Lord is with you. And the question this morning is, do you know this blessing? Do you know whether your sins are forgiven? Maybe you struggle with this question and you sigh, if I knew this, I would be a blessed man. And you realize that Thanksgiving Day is ultimately about serving the Lord in true gratitude. But you cannot, since you don't know the reconciliation in Christ. Will you not forget the way in which Jacob received the blessing? In the way of wrestling. That means that you realize that you cannot stand before God with all the temporary blessings, but that you need the Lord's free grace. But also that you need to persevere in prayer, to cling to God's promises, to cling to the Lord of the covenant. With Jacob you need to wrestle. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Even when you receive all the goods of this world, even when you are offered a large, beautiful present, there will be no peace except you know that the Lord is on your side. What is most important to you? Do you confess, I deserve no blessing of the Lord, let alone the greatest blessing? You notice only guilt. You have nothing but filthy hands. You feel you have no rights, and you acknowledge, the Lord is sovereign. The Lord is free. He's not obliged to bless me. And on the other hand, you cannot let the Lord go. You persevere in your prayer since you cannot go on without the Lord's blessing. And you persist pleading God's covenant. Thou hast promised to be my God. O Lord, fulfill thy word. This wrestling differs so much from just simply reasoning. The Lord has promised to be my God. So why should I worry any longer? The only thing I have to do is to accept this promise. There's also another way of reasoning. I cannot do anything. So I will just wait and hope that the Lord will grant me the blessing of the covenant someday. Congregation, true spiritual life does not use these arguments. It rather acknowledges that nothing goes automatically. Everything is grace. And you learn to persevere in humble prayer. Not because it's the thing to do, but because you want to. You may persist in prayer with the Lord. You may knock on the door of free grace. Do you know why? Only because the blessings are all merited by the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessings of food and drink are merited by Him, since the Lord Jesus was hungry and thirsty. But most importantly, there is salvation with the Lord, since He died on the cross under the wrath of God against all sins. The Lord Jesus was forsaken by God. And for that reason, God can be very near to His people and will never forsake them. Because of Christ's merits, the Lord shows His fatherly goodness and faithfulness. You are allowed to persevere in prayer with the Lord till He blesses you. Even when you sense that praying is without hope, even when it seems that the Lord does not hear, you carry on, since it pleases the Lord to distribute grace for grace to poor lost sinners. And again, do you know of this blessing? Do you know of the miracle that the Lord has set you in a large place, as David pens in Psalm 118? He sets free all those who look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You become so humble under this blessing. Maybe you had a hard time last year. Maybe there are many concerns in your family. You are blessed when you cling to the Lord in continual prayer. Lord, help. Lord, save. It pleases the Lord to teach you by word and spirit to have expectation of the Lord alone. And you begin to view life sorrows and difficulties differently. How? Well, you discover that you deserve nothing but death. Every blessing is bestowed of free grace. And the Holy Spirit opens your eyes for even the smallest blessing. And you humble yourself before the Lord. And you marvel about God's goodness for such a man like you. Just think of your daily routine. Is the blessing of the Lord that you wake up every morning? That you have clothes and food and drink? You can see, hear and speak? You are still alive? Isn't that a miracle of God's grace? When this becomes a miracle, you understand Jacob's confession in verse 10 of chapter 32. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies. You notice God's hand in everything. And that causes at least two things. First of all, you increasingly experience your dependence upon the Lord. You consider more and more, what is a man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. I am so poor. I am so sinful. I am so weak in myself. I can do nothing without the Lord, nothing that glorifies His name. And secondly, you acknowledge the Lord in all things. It means that you desire to glorify His name. You receive many blessings of free grace alone. You do not deserve it. It all comes from the Lord. Even that I am able to study, to do my job, to earn money, to take care of my family. It's all because the Lord provides me strength and wisdom. And such people can be recognized. Do you know how? They regard all their possessions not as their own. They learn from the Lord to count it all as belongs to the Lord. They learn to write upon all things the Lord's. Do you know of this grace? You write upon your furniture the Lord's. You write on your clothes the Lord's. On your hobby, on your bank account, on your cell phone, the Lord's. It is all the Lord's in order to serve Him with all these blessings. You learn to possess as non-possessing. You become a pilgrim. Pilgrim, someone who is traveling. You use His gifts as a steward, not for yourself, but for the Lord, to serve the Lord with them, to acknowledge Him in all His attributes. Then you are blessed indeed. And this keeps you far from using the blessings for yourself like Esau did. He regarded the blessings as his own. He used the blessings for himself. It will be different if you consider every sip of water, every bite of food is merited by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may use it to glorify God. You may use it with the prayer for even more. For one thing that is needful. The great blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the covenant, which is enough for this life and for eternity. And with less, there is no hope. What do you need to do in order to obtain this blessing? We just saw that you obtain in the way of a persevering prayer. But what is the payment of the blessing? Well, there is none. You don't need to do anything to merit this blessing. It is already merited by the Lord Jesus Christ. It pleases Him to fulfill the promises, since He has paid every single blessing by the high price of His blood. And it pleases God to bless wretched sinners because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord proclaims at this Thanksgiving Day, "Open wide thy mouth, believing this my covenant word. I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving." It pleases the Lord to be near to His people. That is the foremost blessing. Namely, that God can live with His people in a reconciled relation. That your heart is filled with His love. That God is all. Then you have enough. Then you have more than enough. At the same time, you desire to experience more of God's love, because we only know in part. Sin disturbs the sweet experience of God's nearness. We are too apt to take the blessings of the Lord for granted. We need to be stopped by the Lord time and again. And on this Thanksgiving Day, God's word points us to the undeserved character of God's blessings. We do not deserve it, but they are merited by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are really happy and thankful if you experience by faith that in God there is all you need. You only really live when you look to Christ by faith. Then the desire arises in your heart to offer perfect praise and gratitude to Him. You look forward to enjoy all the blessings of the covenant without end. What do you look like? Esau or Jacob? Do you have plenty? Or do you have all? Are you in need of God's gracious presence? Be not satisfied with dainties and pleasures of this world. Be not satisfied with all the good that this life offers. Be not satisfied with plenty, but seek it all in God. The God of Jacob is pleased to make you partaker of all the benefits which are merited by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have all, it does not mean that you are without adversity. Rather, on the contrary. Adversity, however, is so different. When you notice the grace of the Lord through all the difficulties, with the grace of the Lord, you have all. For all ye that fear Him and adore the Lord, increase you more and more. Both great and small who Him confess, you and your children He will bless. Amen.